Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoma Nation podcast show. Oh, Knockoma Nation podcast show.
Hey, it's another episode of the Knockoma Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's Josh Rhubarb Brown, and that is JT Holton.
What's up, fellas? Like you never skipped a beat. Oh. That's amazing. Just it came naturally to you, didn't it?
It's almost like we've been recording shows every week, and we just have forgotten to hit publish for like 9 months now.
I mean, to be fair, like that, if you looked at our text message group chat, that's about what happens. To be honest,
pretty much.
Oh, absolutely.
We talk like, every day.
People, they don't even know. Yeah, we literally. It's been every day for like years.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like it's weird. Like our wives are thinking like, you know, they're used to it by now, but
yeah.
Well,
I mean, JT, people think like Nakahoma broke up and we don't talk anymore.
To be fair, like the first year and a half we chatted with JT, he didn't know how to silence his text conversation. So like he's in the middle of sex with his wife and he's getting like 40 notifications from me and Josh and John Howard, different people.
That's a lot of notifications in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Now I got you guys silenced. So I'll just check it. I look down and I'm like, oh, 75 texts. Something happened, and no, nothing important happened at all. It's just
no, not at all. Right? It's just us usually pontificating about the terribleness of someone else most of the time.
Yes, we gossip usually, like women.
Yeah,
it's like
12-year-old girls. Some, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Some Braves.
It's like if
it's Craig Calcaterra, Bob McNeil.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ryan Cothran. It's like if the Steel Magnolias ladies had a text message conversation in 2021.
That's true. So, since the last time we had a podcast, a few things have happened. Josh died and moved to Georgia. JT tried to die and stayed in Georgia. That was a couple weeks ago. Oh, and JT had another kid. With the same woman, fortunately. And I tried to die. So, like, yeah, this podcast was the death of Josh and almost the death of me and JT.
Yes.
So we decided to do another episode.
A lot has happened. And when we stopped, you know, when we kind of, you know, stopped back in like February.
I think it was February, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know about you guys, but my Atlanta Braves baseball world has been much different because we didn't have a podcast, right? I didn't feel the need to like watch all the time, and I probably overcorrected in that regard and totally checked out. Like I watched maybe like a game, and I had it on the radio, like kind of in the background,
yeah,
off and on. And it was
that
nice.
Being said, you did create another baseball podcast.
I if you want to call it that, I did. You know, and I put it out whenever I want to, which is not a lot. Yeah,
baseball, LOLology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Baseball.
You still put it out more than anyone else wants you to, though. So that's.
I've been a host, JT. Hey, he invited me on, JT.
I'm salty. I'm salty about it.
JT hasn't been on yet, so you know.
That's because I don't have I don't even have like a Skype. I don't know. Like, how are you going
to
get me on your podcast?
Yeah.
Like,
so last night,
I
mean, I just
show up in person.
Last night, because I recorded with these Goober Muffins for years. Last night. Because we planned on recording tonight. Last night, I texted you guys. I was like, hey, does everybody have Skype? Does everybody have a login? And you know, everybody's like, yes, good to go. And then about an hour ago, JT's like, hey, Skype won't download. So here we are on Zoom.
Look, getting JT connected to any podcast is kind of like working with like your 65-year-old dad on how to connect like the TV remote. Like he's trying to program the TV remote and you've got Netflix, you've got Xbox, and you've got like local cable. And he's on local cable trying to get the Netflix to work and he can't figure out which button gets him from local cable to the Netflix, and you're like, just hit the source button, and he hits the source button, and then he's connected to the Xbox, and he's screaming, "It won't work! It won't work!"
For someone born in 1985 and coming alive through the internet, you know, like I remember pre-internet and internet age, I can't do anything.
You can't. No.
Online. No. I'm in a 56K world of you've got mail, like when you dial in, like that's
like JT connects to the podcast and you can hear in the background it's going
it's easier for me to just show up at your house.
Yeah.
I'll give you a bit. I just had to drive up.
Hey, so
which we should do that again.
So did I tell you guys that I was interviewed by BBC Radio today?
Is that a porn star radio? Like I know it's not British Broadcasting Channel or whatever.
So this morning, I think Ken didn't know about it until midday because I had to tell Ken. Ken's like, "What?" So this morning, we get a DM on the Nakahoma account. Boggy saw it. I saw it pretty quickly. We get a DM from this lady from BBC, and it was like, "Hey, would any of you be available for a quick?" Last second interview about the chop and about Jim Squires, who got kicked out from the Astros game for holding the chop is racist sign. And I said, sure.
Oh, well, Josh is always down for a 2-minute quickie. Let's be honest. Especially with the BBC involved.
And I went to her profile, and by God, she's the real deal. And so I said, sure. And she asked me for my number, gave her my number. And I was literally en route to a meeting at 9:30. So I said, hey, I got a meeting at 9:30. Can we do this at 10:30? So I thought it was like going to be a phone interview thing. So she said, it's really last minute. Is there any way I could just send you like an audio clip and then you send me an audio clip of your response to the audio clip I send you? I was like, sure. So
I'm sure nothing could go wrong here.
So she sends me this audio clip, right? And it's like, it's just a minute long audio clip from the interview she did with this guy named Jim Squires. Okay. And the audio clip was, he was well spoken, and he talked about how he was at this Astros game last night and how he got kicked out from the sign situation and how the chop is racist and the chant is racist and how the fans travel around with their team. And he's like, it's not just in Atlanta. They come to other cities and they do this chant. It's just very inappropriate, blah, 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 blah. And so before I sent her my response, I Googled this guy because I didn't even know about this guy. And Google this guy. And so I see the picture of this guy holding this giant sign, the chopper's racist sign, right? This giant white sign. And he's sitting in this section, or he's standing in this section with fans, you know? So he gets kicked out. The way he tweeted about it was he got kicked out for the sign. I'm thinking, dude, you got kicked out because they probably asked you to put the sign down because nobody could see behind you. So anyways.
Right. And these tickets are like $1,500 a piece or more.
So dude gets kicked out. He tweets about it like he's a victim and got kicked out for holding the sign that, you know.
Wait. So you're telling me the guy that's claiming the chop is racist is acting like he's a victim?
Yeah, I know, right? I know.
Are you shocked?
The jokes write themselves. So I see the picture. And I find his Twitter account, right? And I see the picture, you know, and I see his tweets from last night. And then I see his bio. Y'all, this guy is running for Congress in Texas as a Democrat.
Good luck.
I'm shocked.
In Katy, Texas. I've been to Katy, Texas. Okay. Katy, Texas, you have two kinds of people.
Football powerhouse, Katy,
Texas. Yeah, you have Republicans and like maybe two old school Union Democrats, right? Like Katy, Texas is like, you know, America. So this guy is running for Congress in Katy, Texas. He had, by the time I did this interview, he had 237 Twitter followers. He's trying to get attention, and it's working, right? So dude gets interviewed by BBC.
We wouldn't know anything about that.
Nothing about that, right? So I send her my response, and there's, she said they're going to air it sometime early next week. I think the way BBC Radio works is very much like NPR. So I think like next week, if they even do air it, they might not air it. I don't know. because my aunt's, my, I mean, it was a little bit inappropriate. And
yeah, they're not gonna air what you said. Yeah, probably not. It's like, maybe part of maybe it. Part of they it. Might get part yeah. of it on there.
But like, so,
Clint Black is from Katy, Texas.
There you go. Right.
I knew there was somebody.
But I think it will be aired, if it is aired, probably like, you know, some morning next week, you know, in Great Britain, you know, like live on the radio. And so it may or may not be in podcast form. But basically my answer was, introduce myself. And my answer was like, you know, so I just had to Google Jim Squires. Looks like he's running for Congress as a Democrat in Texas. So I would do the exact same thing. You know, he has 237 Twitter followers. So I mean, I hope this gets him more followers, you know. I said, in regard to the chop, mm-hmm. I said, when an 11-year-old from Marietta, Georgia is doing the chop at a Braves game, like, in context, that 11-year-old ain't, you know, disrespecting a Native American heritage or culture or tribe. Like, they're just rooting on their baseball team in context. I said, also, I find it funny because I have a very sick sense of humor that the only tribe that gets offended by these things is the tribe of the American Caucasian. And then I might have said something about my grandmother being a quarter pirate or something. I don't know.
All I remember is that it was going pretty well. You sent us a copy of it.
Oh, yeah.
It was going
pretty well. And then you said that the
American Caucasian tribe needed to get laid. At that point, yeah, it probably went downhill a little bit after that.
Probably, so. Yeah. So they're either, if they do air it, they're probably going to paint me as a terrible person.
Are you surprised? I mean, like, who cares? At this point, everyone tries to paint you as a terrible person.
Yeah, so, but it was a lot of fun. It was really cool. So I was honored that I got to speak out about my my Atlanta Braves faith on BBC.
They should have got Brian Chandler to give like a background on you, Josh.
Oh yeah.
You know, like the
sister's okay.
I hope so too. You know, it's been a fun year though. Like, the reason the chop is making the news is because the Braves are actually good, because nobody cares when the Braves suck. Now, this is what's funny. Like, you should care about the chop when the Braves are absolutely terrible, because then it's actually like an insult to Native Americans to be compared to the terribleness that was like the 2018 Braves, 17 Braves, yeah. You know. But like now, the Braves are like really good. I don't get in the middle of a World Series game and break out chopping and think, God, I really just hate Native Americans. This is the perfect moment for me to make a statement and make fun of them while, you know, cheering on a baseball team.
When the team was forced to kind of publicly distance themselves from the, you know, from the foam tomahawks and the regulated chop or the team, the organizational,
fully embraced.
Chop that, you know, and everything. I was like, that's stupid. But let me tell you something, y'all. Let me tell you something. This all natural, all organic chop that happens these days, it is beautiful. It reminds me,
it's way better.
Isn't it like it's like the early 90s. The first game from start to finish that I watched all year, and this is embarrassing because I do have a baseball podcast, was game one of the NLCS. And I watched it from start to finish, first full game that I sat through like I was 10 years old again. And I called my brother after that game, the day after that game. And I said, dude, the chop, this all-organic chop, the energy in this team, oh, my God. My dad all summer kept telling me, like, this team's the best team in baseball. And I was like, you're insane. I'm like, they suck.
They're five and a half out, and they're terrible. In you know? What are you talking about?
And my dad's like, Josh, you understand? I'm telling you, Josh, they're the best team in baseball. I'm like, you're crazy.
You know what was it I told you when we started playing the Brewers, Josh? Because you know, I'm definitely not one to brag or toot my own horn or anything like that. I would never do such a thing, like calling Austin Riley like a top five third baseman 4 years ago or any of those kinds of things. I would never like brag about that. But when the Braves were playing the Brewers, you know, you were a little bit not really giving the boys a super big chance.
I was.
And neither was much of anyone else. I get it.
Full disclosure, and I'm open and honest about this, I didn't fully believe until after that first game of the NLCS. You know, I didn't even, like, the first two games of the NLDS, I didn't watch. Mm-hmm. That first game was a Friday night. I was at a Rockmart football game. second game was Saturday night. I was doing some, like, I'm trying to plan this giant chili cook-off festival, and I was doing this thing for that. And then the third or fourth game, I think I watched a little bit of it. And but then, like, I was like, the Brewers aren't even, like, that good, you know?
Yeah. And, like, you convinced yourself.
You know? And I was fully expecting them to get destroyed by the Dodgers. And then that first game, I was like, nope, my dad's been right this whole time. And so it's
Kendrick's. Well, I mean, what I said about this was, I said, I don't know that this team is a World Series winning team, but I said they remind me a lot of that Washington Nationals team from a few years ago that nobody really thought, because they had gotten rid of Bryce Harper the year before, nobody really thought the Nationals had a shot. And then all of a sudden, they made a few deadline acquisitions, and they get in the playoffs, and it's like they're just that puncher that, like, punched their way through the playoffs and won the World Series, you know? And I said, this team reminds me a lot of that. Now, again, I wasn't calling the Braves to even make the World Series at that point, but I said there's a lot of similarities there. And I think that's true. You know, they've obviously, we're not going to, I mean, the news media is ad nauseum about AA being so wonderful and adding all these pieces. What they're not ad nauseum about is what he paid for them, which is a fake panda head and three busted prospects. So, like, you know. JT,
come on, Bryce Ball isn't busted yet. What's wrong with you?
Okay, he's a A-ball. Yeah, he was good.
Bryce A-ball, because that's where he's going to be the rest of his career.
Maybe right. Yeah. He'll probably be like Matt, the dude that played for the Braves. Holy crap!
He's got the frame. Like, he's a tall, lanky guy. Kind of reminds me of Adam LaRoche, because he's like that, tall, lanky. You know, if he builds into that, it could be kind of a Rizzo type power hitter
for somebody else. So JT, look, for those fans that don't really like know JT, because JT's not on Twitter very much anymore, and JT is the guy that during the game, the moment someone messes up, JT crucifies them. Like, I'm not talking about just a little bit. I mean, like, JT's like, punt them into the sun now. Never let them pitch again their entire life. The absolute dog food. So, JT, that being said, how are you feeling about this Braves team so far?
Look, I'm trying not to be, like, mean to people, but, like, couldn't Charlie Morton, like, keep going? Like, like, he was doing fine. Like, shut up.
He got four people out with a broken leg, right? Like,
wow. Right. Keep
that's why
going.
They make, that's why they make some leg braces, you know?
Right? And, like
those
shots.
Those,
like,
ace bandages? Just throw an ace bandage.
Borrow an EpiPen from Adam Duvall and get your ass on the mound.
Well, I mean, Philip Rivers once won an NFC championship with a broken, with a, like, torn
Kurt
ACL.
Angle won an Olympic gold medal with whatever a broken freaking neck.
There you go. Moore.
These pitchers.
Stone Cold Steve Austin has won the title, what, like 15 times with a busted neck and can barely walk with knee braces on. So
No, of course we're kidding. Like, that was, like, an awesome performance by Mr. Charlie Morton. Legendary.
Out Altuve on a broken leg is pretty dang
with a broken leg is ridiculous. Max Fried is worrying me, though. Gotta be honest, like, Max has scared me a little bit. Like, he looks pale, he looks skinny, he looks sweaty, he looks nervous, he looks scared. He doesn't look well. Like, he looks like he's going through some times.
I think he got it figured out last night, though. I think
he did seem to get into a groove.
I think two things were happening. One, he got, like, the worst strike zone ever. Two, I think he was tipping pitches. I really do. Like, if you watch, I think he was doing something that was tipping pitches in the second. And I think he did the same thing in the NLCS against the Dodgers. I know there was the video that showed him, like, that he was throwing home a little quick, and maybe some of that was true too. But I think the Dodgers saw something on him and knew what was coming, was why they tore him up when he played him in that last game. Then I think last night and there was a very overt conversation in the dugout if you saw it. And he seemed to figure something out. And then after that one inning, which, to be fair, if we play good defense, is not a four-run inning. It's like maybe a one-run inning, and it should have been a close game. If somebody covers third base, I have no idea what was going on there. But anyway, Max was then solid. There was no way after that second inning that I thought Max would make it through five. You know what I'm saying? And,
well, I mean, this guy was the best pitcher in the National League since the All-Star break.
Right.
And then his last two starts, he's looked shaky.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got like a 10 or 12 ERA in his last two starts.
Not,
you know?
Not great, bub.
Not great. Not great. No, but that being said, I do think looking at like his last three or four innings where the Astros suddenly didn't know the pitch that was coming, like Max was back on fire. You know?
Do you think the Astros are like trying to tell what pitches are coming beforehand?
That organization would never do such a thing, JT. Ever.
I've thought about
that.
That being said, I
hey,
don't think they're like
Snicker knows one of their
cheating.
Coaches. He should ask him, be like, hey man, you guys like, are you guys like cheating?
Yeah. Yeah.
He should ask him.
Yeah. Like,
and then if he says yeah, it'll be like, I'd be like, well, you're grounded, Troy.
Yeah.
Troy.
Quit cheating.
Troy, is Troy like the worst name ever?
It kind of is. It's up there.
It's kind of bad.
It's
up
there with Trevor.
Chad. Yeah, like Chad.
Chad
Troy.
And Troy. I don't know this for a fact, but I think the
Tanner.
Two guys in Florida, Georgia line, one's got to be a Troy and the other's like
Trey,
a
Trey's kind of in that sort of.
But see, Trey is usually a nickname from Robert. So like.
Or like just the
wait,
third.
Wait, wait, wait. Time out. Is Trey really a nickname for Robert?
Sometimes, yes. But it's also a third.
I didn't know that.
Also Rob
it's
and
usually
Bert
the third. But I've known maybe all the Roberts I knew were thirds. Maybe that's why I like
did you guys know?
Maybe they just really like lunch trees.
My middle name is actually James, and I thought it'd be cool to go by Jimmy.
Jimmy Brown?
Yeah.
How did they not name you Jesse James Brown? That just would have been
kind of the wrong color to be a Jim Brown. I got to be honest. Like, you're just not really exactly the right color
no,
for that.
Jimmy.
Pull it off.
No, Jimmy. Jimmy,
Jimmy
Brown.
Jimmy Brown.
I debated on naming my kid, giving him a middle name of Jimmy, so he'd be Jimi Hendrix, but I thought it'd be a little cliche.
Oh, yeah.
I know a Jimi Hendrix. Actually.
My dad's baby brother, or actually it was his oldest brother, he died like at 6 months old, but his name was Jimmy. It would have been Jimi Hendrix. Yeah.
Bring the tone of the room down there, Ken.
Jeez. Well, you know, that's what I'm here for, JT. Is to keep when you start getting a little too high, I just bring it down with a good Holocaust joke or something. You know, just like bringing everything, just killing the whole movie every time it's possible.
How you doing, Ken?
Killing the
what
movie,
doing?
Fellas. I want you guys to kill me for this because I'll be honest. This is not going to be a popular take. I'm going to say this out of the gate.
Okay, here we go.
All right. I think Jock Peterson's pearls are stupid.
Oh, yeah. It's so dumb. It's
but yeah,
the dumbest
but
thing, but we're winning, so it's
but
like,
aren't they
right.
supposed to be stupid, though? I'm just going to counter that with
I
that.
I don't think it is. Like, I think it's where he's like, wear what you want, you know?
Well, is Jock going to be on the team next year?
Yeah.
Probably
his,
not.
I
probably
don't have
not.
Boggy's thing.
I
it's
think
contract
he's
status.
Actually on the, he's got an option, a mutual option, I think. So we'll see.
But, okay, so you know there's going to be people that show up to like opening day. It's April. Let's
oh,
say
yeah.
Jock, you
oh,
know,
yeah.
let's say he stays. He comes around.
I mean, it's
there's
going
to be some doofus that shows up to the opening day with pearls on. Everybody's going to look at him and go, dude,
so,
stop.
So look,
that's
I'll be honest.
Year.
Like,
take
like,
off the pearls.
Jock looks cool as heck in pearls because Jock can do anything and look cool. Like, he just doesn't care. But what's hilarious is the 100,000 Trump supporters that Jock, like old 50-year-old men that Jock now has wearing
yes.
pearls as if it's some kind of Braves thing.
I want him to push his limits and like I want him to go up to bat with a jock strap around his face.
Sure.
And then see
how many
Braves
people,
fans on
yeah.
Twitter are like, strap it up, baby. It's Jocktober and you have a jock strap over your mouth.
I thought
and nose,
when he first
and that's
when he first did it, because in all seriousness, these guys are locker room jocks, and
they're dumb.
If,
yeah, they're not,
yeah. If Braves Twitter knew what went on in these locker rooms, I mean, you know, what I mean, like
they would.
Like Craig
down.
Calcaterra
yeah.
cried on Twitter the other day because what was it? Tom Glavin was invited to be a guest at one of these Trump like dinners.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And I'm like, if you knew the politics of those clubhouses, you idiot.
Yeah. So, it turns out people who have a lot of money aren't always the biggest fan of Democrats.
Weird.
I mean, it just kind of turns
weird.
Out that way.
They're capitalists.
Yeah.
So,
unless they're like upper echelon Democrats who actually like take everybody else's. Sorry.
But what I was saying,
but I digress.
What I was saying was Jock Peterson, this locker room jock kind of guy, they're all very, very inappropriate. I mean, they're talking about like
oh, yeah.
really, really gross stuff. I mean, it's great.
It would be very offensive to win.
I thought when I first saw the pearls, and I still actually think this, I think it was like an inside joke.
It's a dirty joke.
I think it was an inside
it's
joke.
It's a dirty joke.
Absolutely.
I think it's an inside
Absolutely.
Joke. And I think we're going to find out maybe next year in a couple years
Oh, I think it might be like 10 or 15 years from now that you find out.
Yeah, like there's like a 30 to 30.
Because he
doesn't
want to get canceled while he has a career. You know, right. Like, yeah.
But it is that dirty joke that you're probably thinking, and I'm pretty sure that's it.
I mean, Kamala Harris saw it, and she knew the instant she knew exactly saw what was going on there.
Yeah.
Definitely knew.
I don't think. Who was it? Was it Dren that didn't get the joke?
Yeah, somebody. Dren
yeah,
definitely
Dren
didn't get the joke.
Dren's a Mormon. So
he's such a good guy.
He's such a sweet soul.
He's probably still trying to figure out what we were talking about with the BBC radio. Like, to be honest, like,
good. Josh's pastor got the joke. That's good.
That's good.
Yeah. Oh, hey, James.
Hey, James Cordell. Seems like a nice guy.
He's the coolest man. He's awesome.
But it's the arrested development of baseball players. Like, these are guys that willingly took money instead of going, most of them, you know, instead of going to college, said, just give me some money. I'm going to ride around on a bus and fart and tell dirty jokes for 5 years.
They went to college and got a degree in sports management, you know,
right.
Which basically means I didn't go to class and someone else like passed my grade.
And
20,
every,
right?
And
like,
every
you
now and
imagine high school you.
Oh, high school you.
Doing this. Like high school you. Instead of going to college, like, remember how you acted the summer before you went to college?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get a six-figure check, and you get to hang out with other dudes like you on a bus, ride around, play baseball, drink beer, and chase women.
For the next 15 years.
Fart in public and tell dirty jokes, and that's where you spend ages 18 through 22, 23.
I will say this. I read Jock's piece in the Players' Tribune, and he came off smarter than I would have ever given him credit for.
I didn't see Married with
well,
Children.
He
and,
is.
And I did not think that.
Okay, so there's some layers to that, because I thought the same thing, Ken. He's from Palo Alto, California. That's a high-income, very affluent area.
That's Stanford.
That's true. Low-key.
Yeah, Stanford's in Palo Alto.
Low-key Jock Peterson, from his family in that area, like he
probably leans into the dumb. Is probably what it is. Like, he leans into that as kind of brand, you know.
I think so. I mean, but
he doesn't go full retard. Like, I know I'm not supposed to use that word, but to reference the famous
you can't say
Robert
that word
Downey
anymore.
Jr. line.
That word was canceled. I think 20.
I know, but to famous
15 or 2014.
The famous Robert Downey Jr. line is you can't go full, right? Like, you can't do that because then you can't ever come back. So Jock
he's,
doesn't do that. He's respectful.
Yeah, he doesn't. He's a lovable idiot, and baseball teams need lovable idiots on the team. Every great team had the lovable moron. The Red Sox had Johnny.
He plays
Gable,
it well.
You know,
He does.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, have you all seen the 86 Mets documentary?
Yeah, it's good.
I mean, they needed Lenny Dykstra.
So, like, there's two different levels.
Dumb
though.
Animals.
There's the dumb animal that actually is a dumb animal.
Which is Lenny Dykstra.
And there's the guy that isn't a dumb animal that leans into being the dumb animal.
That would be Johnny Damon.
Yeah.
I think Jock is way more Johnny Damon than Lenny Dykstra. I don't think Jock Peterson going to prison for, like, you know, fraud or drug trafficking or anything. I think he's, you know, the legend of Johnny Damon doing naked pull-ups, you know, to rouse the team, and Kevin Millar and the 04 Red Sox.
Do you think that aroused the team or roused the team? Which one do you think happened?
Both, maybe. Johnny Damon's a good-looking dude, man.
I mean, he is. You're right.
He's a handsome dude.
I mean, Johnny Damon is basically Jimmy Smits in his prime.
Y'all think Johnny Damon was cute? I don't think he was that cute.
In his prime, he was a handsome fella.
Yeah, he was a handsome dude. Yeah.
Okay, who's cuter, him or Nomar Garciaparra in their heyday?
Nomar had like model good looks, like unapproachable, unapproachable good looks.
Right.
Nomar is something about like the name, like, you know, what's the soccer player that's so good? Isn't he Nomar, whatever his name is? He's got the same kind of looks.
You mean Neymar?
Neymar, yeah, same kind of thing. Like,
soccer reference there.
Hey,
pulled that one out.
Hey,
but like that's like saying Leo DiCaprio is handsome. Well, no crap. Like, Leo DiCaprio is beyond, like, Brad Pitt's beyond handsome. Mm. Like, we don't have a way to relate because we don't know anybody that even looks close to that. You know
see,
what I mean?
And this
well,
is the thing.
John
though,
D.
Like,
Howard.
When you're jocks, you don't have to be hot either. You just have to think you're hot. Like, look.
Absolutely.
For example, you would think coaches are smarter, right? You would think that like they're coaches, right? These have got to be smart guys. And then you see Urban Meyer, right? Like, he's a 55-year-old dude with his hands up a 25-year-old girl's skirt, and, like, he just thinks he's that guy, right? Like, I mean, it just – because he thinks he's that guy, he is that guy, I guess.
Why was he at that bar, though, like, if you're Urban Meyer?
He owns the bar.
Oh.
Oh, does he?
It's Urban Meyer's Pint House.
Oh, nice.
Wait, what?
And he's wearing an Ohio State shirt.
Well,
that kind of changes
in Dublin. Things.
It's in Dublin, Ohio, right.
He was there at his own bar.
Oh. Right. Yeah, his he actually had dinner there with his family, and then he stayed behind. They went home.
Are you making all this up?
His bed and everything. Swear.
No,
swear.
JT.
And so he stayed behind to let off some steam, you know, had to... Another tough loss. Team's 0-4, whatever they were at that point.
Tell me it's not perfect, though, JT, that a guy like that is the coach of the Jags. Like, you think like the Jaguar car. That's the exact kind of guy that drives a Jag.
I don't really connect it to that.
Seriously? You don't know about Jags? Like,
I know about the Jag.
The sleazy drunk guy. Right, like the sleazy drunk guy that sleeps with all the women and never pays
his
own bill.
The 60-year-old that still carouses like he's 25.
Gotcha.
Absolutely. Never pays his own bill, like goes in a restaurant, tries out a full bottle of wine, and then says, oh, I think it was corked, and like hands the bottle back, you know? Like that's
like 60-year-old bachelor that now can chase women with all the power and might because he has the money of a 60-year-old. Not the money of a 25-year-old.
Exactly. Isn't a Jaguar basically under the hood a Ford Taurus?
I think it's like a British version, right?
Yeah. They're like made
it
by
was
Ford
a
or something.
Sexy Ford Taurus, though. Like it looked the part. It's very much like the man. Mm. It looked the part, but there's not much underneath. Like it's skin deep. You know what I'm saying? Like it looks sexy, but to be honest, new Jags are actually pretty. Awesome, but the old Jags are-
people get a Jaguar because they want to pretend they have an Aston Martin.
I would totally drive a Jaguar SUV and wear boat shoes and dress just like Jeff Donahue, if I could.
I could see that.
Well, JT, when you're 60 like Jeff, maybe
as bad as the Jags are, though, maybe they should change their name to the Cougars, and then you'd have like both sides of this coin. Mm. You could go for like the 60-year-old woman. That's actually a Jag driver, right?
And instead of the current cheerleaders, we just have their moms be the cheerleaders?
Perfect. Perfect. Do you know how many Florida fans would come out of the works for that? Like,
so many marketing things that you can do.
Or better yet, just do away with the cheerleaders and bring out, like, Tim Tebow and a bunch of old has-beens and let the women come fill the stands and fill up the stadium to see Steve Spurrier as a 75-year-old dude. Like, they would love that.
At this point, the way they operate that football team, nothing is off the table. It's like
have
a circus.
You guys won
like,
a game
whatever.
This year, or y'all like won?
They beat Miami in London.
Miami inappropriately committed suicide.
Ask your BBC
afterwards.
Friend about it. She was probably
text
there.
Text Lori real quick. Hang on.
Ask her and be like, hey, you guys big Jaguar? They call them the JJs over there.
I asked her when my interview was going to be aired.
If you went Cougars, they could become the VJJs, JT.
She said. I'm just saying. She said that the interview has been pushed to early next week by her editor, because they had to cover Biden today. And I said, "Is this what it means to get sacked?" And she didn't respond.
No, Josh, getting sacked is what happens when you face Tyler Matzik in the playoffs.
Oh.
I can't imagine having to cover. The president of a country that we lost to for a living.
That's true.
Like, what a kick in the pants.
Oh, man.
Like, she has to cover our president.
That
like,
would suck.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
That would be like a New York Times reporter following the president of the Taliban.
Right. You know, this is like, imagine us having to read about the queen every day. Like, right. if the war did not turn out the way
it did. Their news is just basically American news. That's all they do is cover America.
Yes.
It's bad American news. Yeah. So, like, they think America, like, seriously, they think America is Detroit, New York, and L.A. all slammed together. And that's what they think America is.
I think they are all Mr. Bean, so. I don't know.
It's true.
It all works out. They think we're all Kid Rock listeners, and
hey, at
I
the
just
end
assume
of the day,
they don't watch Mr. Bean
At the
movies.
End of the day, we live in the oldest, greatest country in the world, and that's all that really matters.
That's
so,
right.
Let's talk a little more baseball. You want to talk just a little bit of baseball for a minute?
Sure.
I want to talk about something that we've talked about 1,000 times, but that now we can laugh and say, ha, 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 we told you so, for like 4,000 times. Mm. You know how many people have always complained about Brian Snicker's management of his bullpen during the regular season?
Oh, my goodness.
Or his pitching staff, or replacements defensively, offensively, and how we always told them Snit manages a regular season for 162 games. He is not trying to win every game. He's trying to win the season,
yep,
right?
Yep.
We've said that like a whole bunch of times. And then we said, and when you put Brian Snicker in the playoffs, he will manage it differently. And what has Brian Snicker done? He's managed it totally differently. He lets Luke load the bases in the NLCS, right?
Right.
But he doesn't leave him in but for the three batters, and then he pulls him and puts in Matzik, and Matzik like flops his giant nutsack out and strikes out everybody,
yeah,
right?
Two of the best relief innings you're ever going to see.
He doesn't use Morton until
LA. The only thing that comes close is A.J. Minter's. And A.J. Yeah. Minter pitched two more of the greatest innings
yeah.
of all
two
time.
Two and a third innings or whatever it yeah. was, like just letting it all hang out there. And I mean, that's what you got to do. You got to flip the switch and especially with Morton's injury.
Yeah.
You just got to kind of roll with it and go with what you got.
Yeah. Hey, can I read this, the thread that Boggy yeah. did about that?
Sure.
Because Boggy broke.
I think I actually made that thread, Josh. Thank you.
Oh my God, you did?
Yes, I did.
Oh, Ken. Yeah. It's incredible. You can read it then.
No, you go ahead. You've got it open. I don't.
So you tweeted this, and I thought Boggy tweeted it. Because it was just nerdy. This is incredible. So you tweeted, can we just take a moment and talk about how Brian Snitker managed the series and how differently he managed the playoffs compared to the regular season. Number one, he doesn't use Morton until LA, meaning he probably only pitches once. He's never expecting seven games. Number two, he uses the best relievers in high leverage situations. Number three, he lets Minter start clean innings only. Number four, early in the series, they are super aggressive on the base paths, working to win early home games. He leaves Rosario off at leadoff even after getting Soler back, which I thought was super ballsy, right?
Yeah.
Number six, with a three-game lead, he rests all his key bullpen pieces in game five. Number seven, game six, he pinch hits for Anderson in the fourth with two outs, who was pitching great. I remember watching that yeah. thing and, oh my gosh, what's he doing? Number eight, he pinch hits Adrianza, who doubles.
Yeah.
Rosario hits
Josh
a bomb.
Josh can't even say his name. I mean, Josh can't even say the guy's name, and he pinch hits like a no-name guy. Like, I'm not making yeah. fun of you, Josh. I'm saying Adrianza, like, who the heck
guy.
Is that?
Number yeah, nine, right. Rosario bomb. Number 10, he lets Minter pitch two innings. 11, he pulls Luke. 12, he brings in Matzik and doesn't worry about righty-lefty matchups, which is amazing. Number 13, he lets Matzik pitch two, and you put in quotation or in parentheses, if he loses this game, his best bullpen arms are toast, but he's not playing for game seven. Number 14, he yeah. pinch hits Soler, and while it doesn't result in runs, it was a huge at-bat, which was true. 15, he trusts Will Smith, who was much maligned and had calls to replace him in the regular season, to go out and win the ninth, and he does. 16, he gets a champagne bath.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great yeah, managed series, man.
That's a guy that just throws the notebook out, knows his guys, trusts his guys, believes in his guys. We're going to have fun. We're going to go out there and play to win. You know, we're not going to play to what the baseball book says to do. We're not going to worry about matchups. Hey, man, you pitch one inning, cool. You got another in you? You say yes, cool. You know, we're not going to go by, oh, you know, he's a you know, three out guy. When you know,
yeah.
there's so many guys that won't do that in the playoffs where they say, Freddy Gonzalez, great example. Remember the LA with Juan Uribe, home run.
Yeah.
And Craig Kimbrell sitting there in the bullpen and read his lips. He said, I told him I could get him four effing outs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Freddie was like, nope, he's our closer and he's a three out guy. And that's
it,
the way
it takes
is.
More yeah. intellect to do what Brian Snitker did, right? Than it does. To what JT just said, than it does to just righty lefty matchup. Like, that doesn't yeah, take yeah. any skills. It takes intellect and intuition.
Because it, to like, do what Paul JT did. Says, he threw the book out. I would argue that's not 100% true. Like, he balanced it. The Braves shifted constantly against the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. And while it burned them in game two against the Astros, the Braves have shifted more in the second half of the season than any team in baseball, just about. So, like, he's not completely throwing the book out. He's balancing it. Like, he's yeah. playing the playoffs with a mix of a guy that's coached for 40-plus years in baseball, but he's also listening to his guys. Now, I don't think Snicker knows the analytics, but I think he's listening to the guys that do know the analytics and saying, hey, this matters, instead of weighing that and saying, you're right, it does, we can do that here, shift, you know, fix that, let's use Solaire, let's do this. But he's also following that gut instinct that comes from 40-something years of coaching of, yeah, Matzik looked great, we're going to run him back out there. I don't really care what your analytics say. You know?
He's managing like a guy who's worked in the same place for 40 years.
Yeah.
He's 66 years old and knows he's probably never going to be back in the stage again.
Yeah.
And he's going to swing for the fences and go as a, because he know, I mean, look, he know, there's a solid chance. If Brian Snicker wins the World Series this year, he's got to be weighing like, hey, do I walk away?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I got grandkids. I've been this for a long time. Yeah, I know he loves what he does, but, you know, golly, this is a guy especially, who has literally like, done everything for this job. This is not Dusty Baker, who has had high-profile jobs with the Giants and with the Cubs.
And never and got it done.
Success
right.
and has a ring. You know, I mean, he's got a ring. Doesn't he, Dusty Baker win a ring? Did he win a ring?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I don't think he has.
I don't think he did. But, I mean, but you know, I mean, has
he's the coach
baseball success.
The most of the time.
You know, whereas Snicker's like, I have worked years dreaming of having a chance just to be in the majors, let alone a World Series. I am not going to wait till next year.
But,
you know what I mean?
You know, based off what bloggers have told us over and over, though, is that's not who Snicker is. Snicker's the guy that would leave Anderson in. He's not pulling Anderson in the fourth. Not during the regular season, he's not, because he's got a whole season to go for, right? Like, like during the regular
Everything
season, Snit doesn't pull a guy in the fourth inning of a good game, right? Like
the heightened urgency, and he gets it. Like everything is urgent in the play. Yeah, because you're right. I mean, you're looking at just trying to regular season. You're like, hey, maybe we can win the series, eat some innings that'll preserve some guys for tomorrow, take two out of three. Man, that's a great job.
Yep.
Now everything is just like. And it's and for a guy who knows, hey, this is probably it. Like, I think if Brian Snicker was a young guy, if he was Gabe Kapler, I think he may be managing it differently because he knows he's got a young team. He knows he's going to be around a long time.
Sure.
And we're going to have, I mean, the Braves are going to have a good team next year.
And also,
probably favored to win the division again next year. But
what, 3 months? Sorry, I interrupted you, JT.
No, you're not. I'm just saying Snit's looking at it like a dude who's been doing this a long time, and he's old and doesn't have much left.
Yeah. Yep. And he knows how hard it is to get the World Series at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah.
Like he recognizes it's been 22 years.
He knew
years.
How hard it was just to get a job as a first base coach in the majors.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is a guy who's
that's why his wife is so emotional.
You talk about riding buses, man. This guy's done
it's been
it.
Cool to see his wife in those post game moments when she's on the field after they'll clinch something. She's so emotional because I think she's probably really aware about how hard it is to do what he's doing and to get where he's gotten, you know, it's so awesome. And now like her son is on the other team. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
Also, don't forget.
This is a guy, he got the call to come to Atlanta to replace Freddie while they were living in their daughter's
basement.
That's
crazy, man.
Yeah. And he still lived there for another year because he didn't think the job would be permanent.
That's like, amazing.
That's what's wild. Yeah.
Also, we're, 3 months removed from Woke Braves Twitter trying to cancel him because he said that in the post-game interview, you can't make stupid plays like that and expect to win games. And they were like, he's the worst.
Yeah.
And now look at him.
Yeah.
It's what happens when you grow up and you don't play sports and you don't have a coach call
and
you stupid.
Grow up without a dad.
I mean,
you know.
Yeah. So I have this question, fellas.
Nine cats.
How good is the Braves going to be next year when Ronald Acuña comes off the bench, right?
With Eddie in right field, man, it's going to be a sick bench.
I just hope. Yeah. I'm just ready for opening day, the unveiling of the Eddie Rosario statue.
Yeah. Tyler Matzik's giant really cool. ball statue right next to it. It's just going to be like a giant sack of balls. Like, that's all it is.
Instead of a big Coke bottle that shoots fireworks, this is going to be a
giant ball sack
pair.
That shoots something. Yeah, that would
what's,
be hilarious.
What's, is Braves Twitter ready for Freddie Freeman to go to another team?
I don't think they are. Look, where I'm at on it is I think there's a 51% chance that Freddie stays a Brave. But there's a 49% chance that he's not. Like earlier in the year, I would have told you that was more like an 85% chance he stays a Brave. But I think Freddie's prepared to go somewhere else if the Braves don't really lay the money.
100%.
I think his agent is telling him mentally prepare yourself because you got to do everything you can. Even if you want to be a Brave, you've got to posture yourself to get the best deal possible.
Right? I don't like his wife,
and I don't think it's any sort of coincidence that he tweets things like, "Oh, memories, you know, of him walking with his kid and stuff like that."
I don't like his family.
You know the thing about
Charlie seems like a little yuppie.
He is a little yuppie.
I bet they put him to those like etiquette classes. You know, Charlie rubs me the wrong way, and I think his wife looks weird.
I think his wife is like, if his wife was not rich because of Freddie, she would be the next person hired by John Boy Media to like produce a podcast. Like, I'm just saying, like,
She's not that bad.
Dude, that's an idea. Like, that's the next thing they're gonna have is like players' wives.
Yeah,
you know, talking.
We
about
should do that, right? Like all the these podcasts like, we come up with first, and then somebody else takes off with them and makes money.
That's a great
actually
idea.
Something that I
one of my favorite shows ever. And Nikki made fun of me so hard. I would watch all of it, all of them. SEC Wives. SEC Wives.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
It was awesome. It was, and you really you learn more about the coach.
I totally agree.
Through the wives.
It was basically like Sandra Bullock in The Blind Side.
Yes,
but like 30 of them.
You learn
all
about the coach through their wives, and I remember thinking, because I went into it not knowing much of anything about most of these SEC coaches, and I'm watching it. I ended up loving Les Miles, who I always hated. But his wife, by God, he was the only one, man, who had a normal looking wife. Just,
I'm sorry, you brought this up. What? So I have to talk about this. We made fun of Urban Meyer for like being the guy. But can we talk for a minute about Ed Orgeron, like getting paid and deciding that he's going to be like a 60-year-old? Like, he is now a JAG man. Like, Ed Orgeron is like 100% the JAG man. There were players on the team after he got released that said, "We have weekly discussions about what chick is going to be at Ed's house on Sunday evening by the pool." It was a player that said that. Like,
oh
my God.
Do you remember when he
divorced his wife of like 40 years because he got
that's
paid.
Terrible.
And now he's like, there's all these pictures of him running around with like college girls.
Do you remember when they won it all, a few years ago? Or what was it, 2-3 years ago?
Two years ago.
He posted a picture. He tweeted a picture the day after. And he was posted up in a pool with some 23-year-old like smoke show, and I couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I mean,
Ed got fired for a good reason because like Ed gets fired, and they say he's going to let him go. And Ed basically they interview him, and they say, "How do you feel about this?" And Ed is like, "I feel fine, man. I'm looking forward to this next year." Like,
apparently, he hit on one of the board of directors' wives at a gas station.
I heard about this.
Yeah, saying she was going to work out, you know, and I'll work out with you. And yeah,
now,
it turns
now,
out
here's
that
the part
it was,
that it you know he hits on the board of directors' wife, but here's the thing, JT. You know, the board of director guy is exactly a JAG man too. Or
oh, sure.
Orgeron wouldn't have been hitting on her. Like, if she's 60-year-old
like,
woman,
the board of,
Orgeron's
you're on the
not
board of directors
of
an SEC school.
Right, like she's some 32-year-old chick that some 70-year-old dude's married to. You know it is.
To be fair, in Ed Orgeron's defense, what's that guy going to do about it?
Exactly.
Yeah, I hit on your wife. What are you going to do, fight me? Like, I'll bite your head off.
No, I'm going to get you fired. And Ed's
I'm
like,
a,
okay,
I'm
give me the rest of my money and I won't have to work all the time.
Yeah, right. How far did he shoot up your list of SEC coaches that you'd like to play a round of golf with?
Oh God,
you know,
way up there.
He's got to be like way up there. Like he went from
no
middle of the pack
to
maybe number one.
I have no desire to play a game with Saban. Like he's gonna be
my number
like,
one.
He won't have
I think
fun.
My number one. Okay, my number one. I guess former coach to hang out with. Honestly, Steve Spurrier.
I can see that.
Spurrier's up there at the top.
You know, JT, I think Dan Mullen, and this is why, because
gross.
There's always that one guy.
No.
There's that one guy in the foursome that while he's gone hunting his ball, the other three laugh at the entire time and make fun of, and that's Dan Mullen.
Yeah.
Like he's
100%
that guy.
It would be good to have the punching bag if it was me, Orgeron, Kiffin, and Mullen.
Yeah.
You know,
I've got some thoughts about Kiffin. So here's the thing about Kiffin that I'm perplexed about, and I wanted to ask you this, JT. Twitter Lane Kiffin's funny. I like Twitter Lane Kiffin,
yeah,
but then
yeah.
when I see him in interviews, not so funny. Seems like a weird guy.
Well, he comes off very reserved in interviews, almost like doesn't make eye contact, kind of stares at the floor. You know, he doesn't know what to do. But I also think like he has a self-awareness where he knows like he can be funny. And so I almost feel like he's like,
oh, he's 100% not getting canceled. That's what, yeah. that's what he's doing.
Okay, did you see the same? So before the Alabama game, they're doing a sideline interview. And he says, all right, get your popcorn ready.
Yeah.
And then like throws off the headset and runs. And he said afterwards, he got on the headset with his offensive coordinator. He says, so I think I just said something really stupid. You better be ready to score a lot of points. Because he knew, like, I'm dumb. I'm an idiot. Why did I say that?
Exactly. And I think that's Kiffin 100% is. I think if he were completely unfiltered, he's like Mike Gundy and Steve Spurrier combined. Like, he's just he would just say whatever came to mind.
Is Gundy still coaching,
like,
or do they cancel him?
Yeah, Mike Gundy has a lifetime contract now, after this year.
He's going to be there forever.
Wait,
like, what was it? It was like a... Was it like
it's like a five-year rolling, like it's like a
good for him. I love that guy.
Basically.
When they tried to cancel him from wearing the OAN t-shirt fishing, that
tried to cancel him for that. Tried to cancel him for actually making his players run in the hot sun. I remember that. They've tried to cancel him for multiple things.
Insane, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they don't cancel him for not being very good at his job.
That's
which
true.
Is insane weird. Because they have more money. Now, rest in peace, T. Boone Pickens is no longer there. But talking about influx of cash in that school, I'm sure they still have access to his funds and his family. There's no reason that Oklahoma should be where Oklahoma is, but Oklahoma State just cannot.
Yeah.
Man, they've got all the facilities in the world. And they got a decent team this year, but it always seems like they're.
I've been to Oklahoma.
Their ceiling is.
Yeah. I've been to Oklahoma. I've been to Norman, which is a cool little college town. I've been to Norman.
It's a weird college town. Yeah.
Where's Oklahoma State?
It's in Stillwater.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Okay.
I don't know where that is in relation to. I mean, I was in Oklahoma, but I.
Okay.
I think it's named after the band from Almost Famous.
Nice.
That was. Were they called Stillwater?
That was a deep cut reference right there. They were.
Wasn't it Stillwater?
No, it wasn't Stillwater, was it? It was Blackwater or something, right?
I think
that's from the Doobie Brothers.
I thought Blackwater was like the group that kills people, like off the radar for the government.
Let me Google it. I don't think it was Stillwater.
I think it was 100% Stillwater, but I will check.
It's definitely Stillwater. But anyway.
Yes, it is Stillwater. You're 100% correct.
All right.
Yep.
It's not a great movie, by the way. Almost Famous.
It was good. It was plotting. Good 20 years ago when I was like a senior in high school. It was really cool. And
it's a coming of age movie. Yeah. So once you're past the age of 22, it really doesn't apply to you.
Have we ever discussed this? Is there a movie that is generally well received by everybody?
Everybody?
But for whatever reason, you just hate it.
Oh.
Like that everyone says is a great movie.
Okay.
It's just outstanding. But for whatever reason, you don't.
Okay, for me, this might not be a great answer because I haven't really watched the whole thing. I've watched the first 30 minutes of it and I can't ever get into it. Is The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
I like Lord of the Rings, but that's because I read the books too. So like, it's
Kenny. That's the like worst kept secret about you.
Oh, I know. I'm
we all know you like Lord of the Rings.
I tried to read it, by the way, Ken. I got I found a like an early edition actually at a thrift store, and when me and Nikki went on our little 5-year anniversary little
I get it
thing, and I tried to read it, and I couldn't.
It's a commitment. You have to like get started. Once you get into it, like you ever get through the first book, you're hooked and you read the rest
really?
Of them.
But it's like getting into Star Trek or Star Wars.
It's
or
why
Harry
he wrote
Potter.
The Hobbit like, first. Is the Hobbit's like half the length of the other books, and you get into the Hobbit, you love it because you thought, wow, that was really good, and then you start Lord of the Rings, knowing the payoff is worth
so should
it.
Read the Hobbit? Perhaps
yes, because it's the prequel to the other books.
Okay.
It's like
I didn't know that.
It sets up the whole story.
I mean, I looked at Nikki and I was like, it makes me feel stupid. And she's like, honey, you're not stupid.
it's
like
that
really detailed. You have to really pay attention. I'm like, give me.
Like 5 years ago, I got into Game of Thrones like that, where I started buying the books. And I was like, eventually I just got to the point where I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a lot.
Yeah, I gave up on Game of Thrones. Now, that being said, I read Wheel of Time, which is probably even more complicated. But it's just.
I can barely get
like,
through Hebrews.
You have to find a book you're into.
You know, Hebrews is like.
Like
deep.
Well,
like, you know.
To be fair, it's like super complicated.
Is in my top five movies. I don't think I'm a Lord of the Rings guy. You know, like, I like urban cowboys.
I bought a Stephen King book yesterday, though, because a close friend of mine recommended it. And it.
Which one?
The one about JFK.
Oh, I hadn't read that one.
Is that where JFK lives in the sewer and he, like, grabs little boys and eats them?
No, I think that's it.
No, it's about. Oh, it's called. Hang on. It's called. the title of the book is
JT, that book's called Biden. My bad.
No, it's called 11/22/63.
Oh,
it's nice. About.
Oh, I know what happened that day.
Yeah, it's about like what if.
Oh, they did a miniseries about that. They did a miniseries with James Franco where he goes back in time to prevent the Kennedy assassination. Yeah.
So since we're on books, like what books have you guys been reading?
Oh, man, a lot, yeah.
My list is super long lately because I've been like pounding through the
books. I just finished Bobby Bowden's other book that he did. It's like a devotional type book.
Yeah,
yeah. And I read Mark Rick's book, and I'm doing his devotional now. And I'm currently finishing George Will's book called Nice Little Place on the North Side about history of Wrigley Field.
So if any of you guys like need a motivational speaker, JT is in the prime mode for motivational speaking here lately. I mean, with that list of books, he's going to get you pumped up and ready to go. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I got the Mark Rick one because I was waiting on that to come out. And then I had gotten John Howard got me Bobby Bowden's first book.
Nice.
And so then it was like, oh, you might like this. So I got his other book, and he's not going to be making any more books. So now I've got both of them.
What have you been listening to, reading, Josh?
I discovered, I think you guys know this, but I discovered fiction early summer. So I've always only read nonfiction. Like, I've just been a nonfiction guy. Like, I love history. I love Civil War. I love baseball. You know, and then we went on a camping trip over at Fort Mountain. And I like, when I go camping, I like to read by the fire with my headlamp. And I forgot my book. And so that morning, the next morning, I drove off the mountain down to like a Goodwill in Chatsworth. And I picked up a book by CJ Box. And I started reading it. And I got addicted. And I bought like five of his books. And he writes fiction books. He does a series called the Joe Pickett novels. And it's basically a game warden guy in like Wyoming, and he just solves cases, and it's like it's easy to read. It's probably like it's like it's not complex, you know, but it's super entertaining.
That's like I'll grab a Lee Child book
you gave me some Lee Child books, and I read Killing Floor. Freaking amazing, dude. So
I mean, it's just like it's basically guy porn is all it is.
I've
like,
never got into fiction.
Not sexual, JT. I see the look on your face, but it's like killing.
Google
fighting.
Guy porn. You're gonna find different things.
So CJ Box is like my guy. He's an author out of Wyoming, and he's like a trout fishing dude. He wears a cowboy hat. He's just a cool guy. So I read all his books. Also, I read Ken gave me this Transformed by Caesar Kalinowski. Really great book. I've been reading, what else? I forget. There's another book on my nightstand. I forget what it is. I forget.
Oh, I read another one that was good. David Halberstam called The Teammates, and it's about Ted Williams, Dom DiMaggio, Bobby Doerr, and Johnny Pesky.
Okay.
And when Ted Williams is dying, and they all go to visit him.
Oh, I just started.
It's just stories.
Started a book about Truman called Truman by David McCullough. It's like a zillion pages. It's just super massive book, but it's really good. I like David McCullough. I read 1776 by David McCullough. He wrote
Harry S. Truman.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, Truman was not a very liked guy.
Correct.
He was weird.
Yeah. That's kind of why I'm reading it. He's a very interesting dude. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, neat. I've gone full anarchist, I guess, accidentally. Let's see.
Che Guevara's book?
Almost. Let's see. Recently, I have read Farewell to Arms by Ernest Hemingway, and then I read Faust.
How did he write that?
Arms. It's pretty crazy.
his toes.
He has a very, very dexterous penis, JT. And then let's see. I read 1984. By George Orwell, and pretty sure like all government is terrible now, and it basically, God,
you were texting us pictures of like excerpts of that book, and I told you, I have to read it because the stuff you're sending us was like, oh my God, that really is happening now, and I've heard all
and
about
then,
it.
The good thing is most books that are really good, there's a movie
that's
you
true.
Can just
That's true.
Knock it out.
I read. I'm the weirdo that reads like three books at the same time. So currently, I'm reading.
I do that too.
I'm reading Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand. Fantastic book so far.
Yeah, I've got that.
I'm reading Crime and Punishment, which is also fantastic. And I'm reading Maps of Meaning by Jordan Peterson, which is just mesmerizingly wonderful and super hard to read. But I love it. It's fantastic. I've got notes written in all the margins and all kinds
of stuff.
How's
Ayn Rand? How's
reading her? Holy crap. Amazing.
Is it super like tough to get through? How's her writing style?
It's easy read. It's not like hard reading or anything like that. I would say the biggest thing about it is you can kind of see what's coming in the book in some ways, and you get a little depressed about what's coming. But as far as actual writing quality, it's not confusing. It's not hard to follow the story. Like, it's good. And there's a lot of philosophy worked into the book, but it doesn't feel like somebody trying to like choke you with it either. You know, it's a very political book though. You need to kind of understand that going into it.
I know.
Like 1984 is the same way,
The only reason I haven't read Orwell yet is because I just I know that when I read it, I'm just going to get more pissed off than I like already am at culture.
Orwell won't just piss you off. Orwell will scare the bejesus out of you. It's like, holy crap, we are living in that society or very, very close to it. You know, it's wild.
It's like Goosebumps.
Yeah. It's wild.
Those it's like the Hardy Boys.
You know, Josh, you said you were reading Stephen King.
Yeah. Well, not yet. I ordered it yesterday.
I've read The Green Mile, which was very good. Okay.
Yeah, he dies at the end.
He does. So I've read dumb. The Stand. The Stand is fantastic well. And I've never read the series, but I take it on good authority from people that have that the entire Gunslinger saga that Stephen King wrote
isn't that like
fantastic.
The Dark Tower?
Yeah, Dark Tower.
Man, I've you know,
yeah.
There's a movie, but the movie apparently
not great.
Wasn't good. I don't know. But
yeah, I've seen I had never read the books, but I did see the movie.
Since discovering fiction, I have been wanting to read a Stephen King novel because he seems like arguably the best there is in the genre. Sort of, kind of, you know, at the height.
He's
up right. there.
Yeah, he's good.
But then I see his tweets, and I want to, like, slip my wrist.
Yeah.
You know,
his books don't
keep
feel
in
like
mind
his tweets. They're good.
Yeah. It's sometimes, keep in mind, this is a guy who wrote, like, the book It is, like, 800 pages, and there's, like, a big child sex orgy in it. So this is the kind of guy you're dealing with here.
What?
The Shining is good, though.
Yeah.
The Shining's a great movie. That's...
Is that a Stephen King book?
Yeah, oh, okay.
yeah.
It did Stand By Me, Shawshank Redemption.
No
Stephen
way!
Shawshank Redemption, Stephen King.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Stand By Me, very underrated movie.
Very that underrated movie.
Love
That's
Stand
a great
By
movie.
Me.
You want to see a dead body?
Yeah, it's one of those movies where you're like, that's just fun. Like an hour and a half of...
It also had a great cast.
It does.
Yes, absolutely.
And Will Wheaton as a kid.
Do you guys connect with that movie? Because when I was a boy... Like, we would play in the woods. Like, we would, like, we were the last generation to play in the woods and, like, go trick-or-treating at nighttime without our parents.
So tell
I saw something online one time that I read, and it bothered me forever. And it said, one time, you went outside with your friends, you came back inside, and you never went out again.
You never went out again,
And that was like, I was like, oh, my God, what happened?
Yeah.
I wanted to call up my buddies. You know, Luke and Bobby that lived on my street when I was growing up and be like, hey, guys, you want to get together and play street football?
Yeah.
You know, like, you guys want to meet on the trampoline and ride bikes to the store and buy baseball cards? That's one of those movies, like, it takes place in the 50s.
Yeah.
But I feel like growing up in the 90s, I remember what that was like.
Are you ready for me to ruin Stand By Me for you?
No, don't ruin it.
Stand By Me, in my mind, is it's merged into another movie. And that is The Goonies. And so somehow,
I
Stand
can
by
see
Me
that.
And The Goonies
I mean, they're
is like
very,
basically
they're
the
very
same
similar.
Movie.
Okay. you're away from your parents. You're trying to find an adventure. It's
Corey
like
Feldman in both of them?
Map sort of situation. Corey Feldman is it? Yeah, he is in both of them.
Corey Feldman's in both of them, yeah.
Rivers Phoenix plays a great, like, you know, there's always an older, cool kid, and he was that kid, you know?
Okay. Change it back to baseball for just a minute, fellas. I got to ask you a question. The NLCS. I have watched a lot of Braves baseball in my life, a lot of high-tension baseball. I could not watch it. Ron Darling was so freaking obnoxious
it was
literally could not watch it. Like, I watched it on my phone using, like, the little game day thing rather than listening to Ron Darling because he, like, kept me in this state of wanting to strangle him, like, the entire time, and I couldn't enjoy watching
and it
the
game. Wasn't –
It was almost a did I almost I'm sorry I mean
no it, okay, it wasn't just that he was biased, right? Because that was a big, you know,
sure
complaint.
I don't really care. I'm used to Tim McCarver, so like being biased usually doesn't
right
bother,
it was more than know? That he just sucks. His voice sucks, his takes suck, his just his lens of what he views the game through sucks. He's terrible.
He's bad.
He's
You're
not
right.
good.
Like, he was saying stuff, and I would look at Cynthia and say, but that doesn't make any sense. Of course, I say the same thing about John Smoltz, because half of what comes out of Smoltz's mouth, I'm like, Smoltz, do you
he
have
also
any
called,
idea what you're
Mookie
about?
Betts Mookie Wilson at, during one
That's
play.
That's kind of funny. Ron Darling also claimed that Rosario was one of the fastest guys on the Braves, and Rosario, like, is one of the slowest guys on the Braves. He said, the Braves have one of the fastest leadoff men in baseball. Well, yeah, when Ronald Acuna's healthy.
They do. But Rosario's not usually our leadoff guy.
The other thing that was hilarious to me was the constant, oh, well, the Dodgers are just so hurt. As if the Braves didn't lose half their team this year, you know, like.
I don't think Trevor Bauer's hurt.
That's true. Well, he might be, like, deep inside.
Maybe. But, I mean, it's not – yeah,
look,
I mean
– JT, he just gets a little choked up every time he thinks about it. What can you say? You know?
Max Man. Muncy, I mean, I get it, but like –
Clayton Kershaw, you know, Clayton like, Kershaw, they were nicked up, don't get me wrong. But so were the Braves. Like, the
– Well, again, I don't think Ozuna's that hurt. I think his fingers are healed by now.
Oh, that's true. But, to be fair
– So, it actually worked
Soroka,
out
perfect.
Like, you got a guy out, we got a guy
Yeah,
out.
Exactly.
You got a guy – That's
it was
trouble,
just silly to listen to them like wax philosophic about the Dodgers, like they would kill the Braves if everyone's healthy. I'm like, yeah, and if all the Braves were healthy, they'd kill the Dodgers. So it's like, you know, like shut up about it. It doesn't matter.
But, yeah, I almost felt like it's almost if Ron Darling was like, hey, Frenchie, why don't we do this? Where I'll be like the Dodgers guy, and you be the Braves guy. But then, like, Frenchie just never leaned into it.
No, like, Frenchie
you know,
was just
like,
called it pretty much straight. Like, I never felt like he was leaning as a homer at all. Like,
yeah. Like, it almost seems like I'll play this role and you play that role, but then Frenchie forgot about it. And so Ron Darling just looked like a giant moron.
And
time, you know?
Is it just me, or does John Smoltz always feel like he leans into being anti-Brave so that people don't think he's
I think
homer?
He probably does, yeah. I think you're right on that. But
I think you kind of feel like you have to overcome
I will say
it,
this
right?
about like, the biased, Darling. That wasn't my contention. My contention was that he just sucked. His voice sucks. His opinion sucked. Dodgers Twitter, they were complaining that he was pro Braves. Yeah, I mean, like, they were. Yeah.
And I get people thinking, like, always thinking that the announcers are against your team, because
I
feel
think,
that way a lot of times.
Objectively
don't get me
speaking,
wrong.
He was more anti-Braves than pro-Braves. And he, even some of the national...
Well, I mean, he shouted yes when the Dodgers
right,
hit a home
right.
run.
Even,
I mean, like,
even I think the guys on MLB Network like poked fun at him about it. So he was, but it's funny because I think that fans just, they notice the negative things more than anything. So...
Now, I will say this. If I'm a Mets fan, I absolutely love Ron Darling because my broadcaster went on national TV and, like, he was totally biased against our number one enemy. Yeah. You know, like as a Mets fan, I could probably eat it up. Probably. But I don't know. I didn't realize how much he bothered me until I listened to Game 1 of the
bad.
World Series. And I was like, this really
Speaking
doesn't bother
of
me. Like
listening to the World Series, did you know that all Braves radio network affiliates across the Southeast, okay, all of them, except for the flagship stations, which I think are just like two or three, 100.5 and 68 of the Fan, which, is that the same station? No, it's not.
I think so.
But it's the same ownership, I think, right?
Yeah.
Dickey Broadcasting.
All of them are required to carry the ESPN broadcast during the World Series and not Ben and Joe.
That's
it's
stupid.
So sad. Yeah. So my buddies over at WLAQ in Rome, carry Braves all summer, Braves Radio Network affiliate, right? So all summer, I've got you got Joe and Ben on the broadcast, and you know, you're not just a fan of the team, you're a fan of those guys because they're putting on a show, and,
right?
And you know, honestly, they're great. Joe is fantastic on the radio, and he throws a little shade sometimes. He'll say some things he probably couldn't get away with on TV. It's great.
Joe's celebration is the best thing ever. Like the Braves win, and he's like, hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo! He's like the Pillsbury Doughboy of radio. It's great. I told my wife that like after sex, I'm gonna start going just for the
so you know, it's almost like so you're riding with those guys all summer, and they go to the World Series, and then you have to. You know, have the ESPN broadcast. It's just wrong.
Yeah. So there's nothing less fun than the vanilla national radio broadcast of any game.
I agree.
Like, it's just the worst. Because you wonder, like, who listens to follow the game on ESPN radio? Yeah. And you're like, wait, why would I want
to
do that?
It's like, why would I want to listen to Herb Street and them call Georgia versus Alabama when I can listen to the Georgia broadcast of it. You know, like, if I wanted, it's not that generic, they're bad, it's just they're generic, like what you said.
Yeah,
like,
I got that on TV.
If I'm not a fan,
radio and still
if I'm not
generic,
a fan of either team, I'm totally fine
a
with
local
the
generic.
College like, no big
football
deal.
Broadcast or a local, even a local NFL broadcast, it's great.
Yeah.
I mean,
there is nothing to me. One of my favorite things is when I'm leaving the game and I go to find the radio to listen to, like Georgia Auburn, driving home. So I'm flipping it to A&M, Alabama, and getting to hear
Eli Gold man.
Do that. Oh. You know what I mean? Like, that local flavor that you get is fun. Now, if it was ESPN broadcasting it, and it was, I don't know, whoever they would have, like Mike Tirico or somebody in the booth or something, that's like not near as fun. Like, you don't get the flair. You don't get that flavor, that local color. Have y'all seen, go back to movies real quick, have you seen the More Than a Voice on SEC Network?
Nope.
It is tremendous. Kenny Chesney produced it, and it is about the voices of Southeastern Conference.
Oh, cool.
Oh, wow.
A lot of John Ward at Tennessee, because it's Kenny Chesney. Of course, Larry Munson's in there. But you have guys like Kaywood Ledford at Kentucky, and Jack Crystal at Mississippi State, and Jim Fife at Auburn.
I'll definitely watch that.
Going through legendary calls and stuff. It's super interesting. It's like an hour and a half with commercials, but it is super enthralling, like hearing all these stories. You know, and it's Kenny Chesney's talking about when he's a kid, you know, he's cutting the grass on a Saturday, and he's like, but I wasn't really cutting the grass because I had my radio on. I was wherever John Ward, you know, it's football
cool
time in Tennessee. And it's like, man, that whole era of, because even to the 80s, you got to be on TV. There was one national game a week. So unless you were in the stands, you were dialed into the radio. Mm-hmm. And that whole era of how we take in the sports is gone.
It is, I know, you know, our buddy Wes Blankenship kind of, you know, has fun with it, but I really enjoy high school football
on a
Friday night. So you guys, we haven't really talked, you know, other than texting all the time every day. So I've gotten super into Rockmart football because Nikki teaches math seniors. And so like the whole football team is in her classes. And every Thursday night, she bakes cookies for them, and so we go to the games, and we're totally invested because Nikki knows all the kids, and they're also like really good, like they're amazing. They're undefeated in their conference or their division or whatever. And so, anyways, I've been listening to WZOT, our little Rockmart AM station here. You know, like the post game show is great, and then the 92.9 The Game does that statewide like football show, and it's pretty good.
I had so much fun. I hosted the pre and post game show with legendary coach Conrad Nix of the Northside Eagles, and that was like, that's the most fun I ever did working in radio, because
that's
it was
awesome.
Like people get into, like people realize in major cities, I don't think people get know that there are people that if you ask the favorite football team, they won't say the Bulldogs or the Yellow Jackets or the Falcons. There are people that will say Rockmart High School.
Funny.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like Northside Warner Robins is
Buford.
Big down here. Like,
yeah.
Like, and that's, and there is nothing I love more than like Friday night.
Man.
When I was a kid,
$5 to get in high school football is like the best. Man.
When I was a kid, we listened to Friday night football on local radio station every week.
Really?
Like, we get home and dad would turn it on the radio and we listen at home, you know. Because
Friday nights aren't complete until I stay up to about 11:30 to catch football Friday night on 13 WMAZ and
Mac Posh used to do the wrap up radio show, and he'd cover like all the scores throughout North Georgia and South Georgia.
Is he related to Posh Barbecue people?
Probably. I don't know. He used to sell my dad insurance.
JT, you a lot of folks don't know this, but you were pursuing a radio career. Like, you went to college for.
Oh, yeah. I was a broadcasting major. Yeah. I did sports radio here in Macon for a while. I did work for a company that we did all the high school football in Houston County, Georgia. Did pregame, sideline, postgame, all that stuff. Covered guys like Jake Fromm when he was at Houston County. And
that's awesome.
It was fun. But, you know, it's also got to pay the bills, too. Yeah. Have kids, and so it just kind of petered out, you know, but you know, that parlayed into podcasting. I mean, I was able to have fun with it. I honestly just wanted to be like, when I went to college, I was like, hey, being Larry Munson would be cool. I want to be able to get paid to watch games and just talk.
And when I think it might happen, maybe next year, Georgia legalizes this online sports betting?
Yeah.
I think JT will be buying us steaks at Ruth's Chris in like 2 years. Like, I'm just saying. The money in that, man, in radio is ridiculous.
No kidding, man. When you could do it via app instead of offshore.
We talked
websites.
About you over the weekend because that's when I saw JT over the weekend. We were at the Georgia Area Broadcasters like Gabby Awards thing, and we're down there, and we're in these meetings, and we were talking. Some guy from Alabama came and talked to us about this. He's from from Muscle Shoals.
Tennessee's killing it. Right
and he's now. he's like, y'all, there's so much money in this. If Georgia legalizes this, y'all, the money is insane. And so, you know, we talked about we our radio stations want to cover that kind of stuff. And I'm like, I know a guy.
Oh yeah, there's such a market for it, you know, there's such an appetite for it, especially as it ties into how crazy we are with football here.
Me and JT, you know, JT, I'll do a DFS show with you, and then you can do the straight you can do the straight lines for everybody. And
I've got a guy in Biloxi right now placing some bets for me for this weekend.
That's
so
crazy.
I got a nice 3-team parlay I'm sitting on that I hope works out.
I always pick one too many teams, dude. I went for a 6 last week instead of a 5.
I've tried it. I suck.
I missed $495 by the Chiefs not covering the over, and that was disappointing.
Here's the thing. You talk about baseball being a game of failure. Like, gambling?
Oh, God.
Like, sports gambling? The best guys are winning at 55% clips.
Right.
So they're losing 45%. So, yeah.
I don't think I ever realized that.
If only I could stay disciplined. Man, I won like $1,000 this year in DraftKings. The only problem is I busted it all out because I wasn't disciplined and put too much money in 1 week, you know, like, and had one bad slate, and it wiped me completely out because I was an idiot and put too much in.
Yeah,
it's rough.
It's tough. It's just like anything else. It's hard to get up from the slot machine. That's how they make your money. You know what I mean? Like, you got to know when to just cash the ticket out and walk away, and you got to know when to be like, all right, 2 games is enough. 3 games is enough.
So the thing I love about like DFS beyond just sports gambling is it is somewhat predictable. And what I mean by that is, like, you're not betting against the house all the time. So you can actually play cash games against other idiots out there that don't really know what they're doing. And if you do know what you're doing, you can win at a better than 55% clip as long as you're disciplined about it. You know, but you got to be disciplined. That's the thing.
Well, you know, sports especially gambling is an informed guess. You know what I mean? Like, it's not blind luck.
Right.
Have an idea of who's good. Now they just got to go out and perform the way you expect them to, you know, and therein lies the rub. You know, on paper, it's pretty easy. Well, I think Oklahoma's 20 points better than Texas Tech, who just fired their coach this week.
Yeah,
and they might be. But if that ball gets tipped and intercepted and run back, it's a different ballgame now.
Exactly.
So, you know, so it's
especially when you throw in spreads and all that good stuff. It gets wild quick. Yeah. So, fellas, we'll wrap it up with this, unless you got something else major to talk about.
I got poop.
We're down to a 5-game series, best of five with a home field advantage. What do you think?
Man, I don't want to say.
That's right.
Because I've been all season, I've been, you know, I don't want to say.
You don't want to be positive now because you might jinx everything. Right. Mm-hmm. I got you.
Correct.
But you also don't want to be negative because you feel like that's bad.
But I do want to say this. I do want to say this about the chop. It is amazing what that does to the atmosphere of a baseball game.
Oh, yeah.
And I've heard players from the opposing teams over the years talk about that. And that's a factor. It is unlike anything else in Major League Baseball. There's not another team in baseball that has that sort of thing, that sort of crowd chant. You have, like, the towels that they'll wave, you know. Okay, big deal. But the chant, if you're Max Scherzer on the mound and the chant's going down, you know what I mean? Like, it's pretty amazing. It's one of the coolest things in sports. That's what I'll end with.
It is true. It's one of the coolest things.
No, you're absolutely right. I would say, here's my prediction: watch it, enjoy it, and live it up. You know, like, enjoy World Series baseball with your team in it, because you know what I mean. It's been 22 years.
I drove to my dad's house to watch Game One, man, and it was special. You know, it was cool.
Yeah, I'm sitting there watching the Braves, and you know, my wife's going like, "Why are you watching? Down 5-1." I'm like, because it's on, and no guarantees.
It might be 22 years before I get to watch another one of these.
Exactly. You know, because look, we all in the 90s at some point just got accustomed to the fact that the Braves are going to be in the playoffs.
Hey, did you watch Houston this weekend? I mean, at the first two starts of the series, that is a city that is used to their team being in the playoffs now, and they didn't have the same energy that I saw from Atlanta in the NLCS.
Correct,
like, don't get me wrong, they were loud at times, but it was not the same energy that you saw from Rabbit Atlanta.
You're
also, the battery is one of the coolest things ever in the postseason.
Yeah.
Like, that's a huge help. I like that we have a facility now that you see in other places where they have this. Philadelphia has one. It's great. Where they have the hockey arena, the basketball arena, the baseball arena. Yeah. They're all right there. And so you have this, like, centerplex of people to gather. So even if you don't have tickets, it's the place to be. It's a giant sports bar, outdoor arena. I remember watching the NBA playoffs, and like, the Hawks would play Milwaukee, and Milwaukee's got, like, they called it, I can't remember the name of it, Deer Alley, Deer whatever the name of that place was, but they've got 40,000 people outside.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
And
like,
that's the way the battery has looked, is like, it's looked packed outside as much as in. I can't wait for the World Series. You know it's going to just be solid people out there. And
it's going to be a madhouse.
Can
like,
you
the
imagine
whole idea
how loud,
like,
it's going to be when the inside erupts and then the outside screaming on top of that? I mean, it's just what an atmosphere. And we've never really had that, man. Turner did not have that.
No, you couldn't hang out in the parking lot of Fulton County Stadium.
Fulton didn't have
that. There.
Now, Fulton did have better pregame stuff, probably like tailgating, than Turner even had. But still, it was this. You know,
and in game, I don't think you're ever going to see what we used to see at Fulton County.
Oh, it's just so loud.
Go back and watch the replays of Sid Bream sliding in the hole.
Yeah.
And watch the crowd's reaction.
Well,
they're literally crawling over each other.
Also, it was such a small stadium in that regard. Like, it went,
and there was nothing
up.
Else to do. There's no chop house.
No,
there's no
right.
Zip line. There's no arcade. Like, you got your popcorn, you sat there, you know, and it was.
And you screamed your head off. Yeah.
And that way of consuming sports live is especially pro sports, is going away. You know what I mean? There's so many distractions. You're busy meeting up with people on Twitter at the game. You know, like, that kind of environment where you're in this cookie cutter crappy stadium and you're miserable and you just want your team to win desperately because there's no other distractions. There's not even a replay board.
Yeah.
You know, like, man, that's like crazy to go back and watch that.
Those days
the
are gone.
Crowd is just
those days are gone.
Fierce. And we're going to have a loud crowd. Like, these next three games at home are going to be raucous. They haven't lost a home game in the playoffs yet.
Yeah.
Keep that up, and we're going to win a World Series by this weekend.
That's what I'm talking
about. I think if it gets to Game 5 and the Braves have won the previous two, right, I think you're going to see Max come back on short rest and pitch the last home game for Atlanta.
I don't want to think about that. That makes me nervous.
Because I think Stitt's going to go all in if he can win it at home.
That would be a long Monday. Oh, man.
I'm just saying,
it'd be
like
a rough Monday at the
office.
That's
what
I
would do. Like what 8:15 start times, aren't they?
Oh, brutal, man. It is killing me.
I don't get it. I don't get it. Like, these games, like, the first game was 4.5 hours almost, it felt like. It was nearly 1 o'clock by the time the game was over, and it started at 8, and I'm like, guys, why can't we just bump this up and start it at 7? And then if you go a little late, it's like 12 o'clock, you know? Like,
It's like having the Super Bowl, but like 5 times in a week.
And the Super Bowl starts
at,
like, the Super Bowl now starts at 6 o'clock. You know,
but
like,
you know that that Monday morning after the Super Bowl feeling, you're like, why did I stay up till 1:30? Like, this stinks. Like, we're doing that like six out of 7 nights. It sucks. Like, I don't like it. I'll even watch it in bed, but you know, I can't just like go to sleep because I'm, you know, nervous. Everything, but it's exhausting, man. I totally, you know, we'd sit there and complain about people moaning about baseball being the long sport and everything. I get it now. Like, you know, it's taxing.
Also, isn't it beautiful that this World Series, you guys, after MLB moved, you know, the All-Star game from Georgia to Colorado, right? It's not just, you know, that the Braves are in the World Series, right? But it's also in Texas.
Yeah, exactly.
The two states, they were like, you know, F you, we want to see your photo ID before you vote. You know what I mean? Like, there's two states that, you know, got hated on for that.
Well, to be fair, Josh, Colorado also has that stance.
Oh, yeah, I know. But the two that have been, like, you know, popular about it, I guess. But
And I love that Rob Manfred came out and was like, hey, yeah, guys, chop's cool. Everybody likes to chop, you know. Yeah. Atlanta's great, and they love their, like, he's like, please don't kill me. Please don't throw rocks at my head.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to game 4 when Rob Manfred's there, and supposedly Donald Trump's going to be there as well.
Y'all.
Do you think there'll be a Let's Go Brandon chant breakout
guys,
if Trump's
guys,
there?
I think if Trump, I hope to God he doesn't do the chop, because if Trump does the chop, y'all, Ken, JT, if Trump does the chop, we're going to be red-skinned before Thanksgiving. You know what I mean? Like, we're done. Yeah, we're the Atlanta baseball team by Christmas. Are we not?
Yeah, you're probably saying. This is the problem, Josh. You know what I figured out? This is what it comes down to. It's not about whether you think the chop is racist or not racist, or Braves is racist or not racist. This is what it comes down to. The people that pay the money are the ones that they will please. And you know why the Atlanta Braves are still the Atlanta Braves? Because they recognize if we do away with the chop and we stop calling this team the Braves, all those rednecks in Georgia that voted for Trump, they're not coming to these games for a while.
I'm out.
They may eventually, but
they're out
for a while.
They've got college football in their back pocket.
That's right. They got UGA, the Bulldogs, Bama.
Right.
I mean, the only people that have any hope of keeping are anyone from Columbia, South Carolina. I mean, the rest of them are...
They got other distractions.
Yeah, for
real.
They
could be a year-round endeavor, and the Braves are icing on the cake. Like,
yeah.
That's true. I've
had conversations with many rednecks here in Middle Georgia throughout that whole ordeal that was like, I ain't giving baseball any of my money.
Yep.
You know, I'm done with it. I can watch other things. The Braves, because a lot of people down here, they want the Braves to entertain them until college football season.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
If the Braves go to the World Series, they'll eat it up. But, like, they're mainly watching for it to fill the time, fill the gap.
With Saturday night, what do you think you do on Saturday? I mean, you know, they're watching Georgia-Florida, and then they'll tune into the Braves. But if they were going head-to-head,
they're going to watch the Braves.
You know how the ratings will be down here.
In Jacksonville is what they're going to do. That's what most of them are going to do. Speaking of which, go Dogs. Hey, fellas, any last parting words since this may be the final Knockout Mission podcast show again?
Again?
Sorry I broke up the band last time. You guys are two of my best friends, and I love you both.
Aw.
Try to make Kenny cry again, aren't you?
And I'll see you in a couple weeks, right? Or 1 week? Next weekend, Ken?
Yeah, you'll at least come see me. I think JT's... a little busy with a new child, so I don't think he's going to make
it. You didn't even tell me. I don't know.
We're having Friendsgiving. You're well. You guys.
I'll be in Athens.
That's kind of what I figured. So
sorry, but I'll FaceTime you.
Yeah.
Say hello.
It wasn't anything personal. It's just we figured you were super busy with the kids.
Listen, we have guys weekends about once a quarter.
We're due for another one.
Josh are due. We're coming to Crockmart, buddy.
Yeah, I think Crockmart.
We're going to go on the Silver Comet Trail. We're going to go bicycling.
Cycling.
I'll have
cycling.
You know. I'll
you
have
and,
know,
you
JT.
And the preacher and the mayor.
Have a little spin
I haven't
class.
Been on the bike in like a month. I hope you're proud of me.
I know. You've been at GOP meetings and stuff like that.
Straight
but yeah, we were sitting on my back deck smoking cigars, and I said, guys, I said, hey, this is about April. We've been done for 2 months. I said, hey, what do you guys think about bringing the podcast back? And Ken, you looked at me and you said, absolutely not. And I was like, okay, moving on, next subject. Is it the last? Maybe. Braves win the World Series. Maybe we'll do another one. Who knows?
Hey, if Georgia ends up in the national championship, maybe.
Never
maybe.
We'll pop in every now and then.
You know?
We'll pop in.
You never know. But, you know, the only thing that I have left to say is, you know, it's been a lot of fun getting back together with you guys to do this. I'm very much looking forward to going to Eric Church with you guys in December. Josh is going to an Eric Church concert with me, which I absolutely love.
That. Yeah. Awesome.
Oh yeah. When is that?
It's going to be a lot better than the Chris Jansen concert. December 17th, okay. Buddy.
What's next weekend? What's this weekend?
Friendsgiving, okay. Buddy.
All right. I don't know what's going on. You and my wife run my calendar.
No, my wife and your wife.
Oh, yeah.
Your calendar. I wasn't involved in any of this. But final, you know, really, this is thank you to all the Non-Combination listeners. And last but not least, Epstein didn't kill himself.
I remember that guy.
Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Non-Combination podcast show. Oh, you're listening to that Non-Combination podcast show.